arms agreement, but they haven't followed through yet.
And that is Dr. Alice Grundy from the Australia Institute speaking with Annie Gaffney. To tell you more, though, about gun licensing is in Queensland, you're joined by Tim Bannister from the Australian Shooters Alliance. Tim Bannister, thank you so much for joining us. I mean, we look at our gun laws in Australia and we look at what happens with guns and the gun violence in the US, for example, and go, well, we're obviously getting it right. Can you explain how the National Firearms Agreement works?
Well, it's an agreement. It's each state has firearm laws, and it is a state matter. There are general principles and agreements that make the National Firearms Agreement back in 96 and later in relation to handguns in 2002. This was amended about 5-6 years ago to try and combine the agreement, which to the everyday person just means that there is firearm laws in place in each state and territory. Up until 96, there weren't necessarily that many restrictions on long arms. There's always been restrictions on handguns in Australia. And for better or for worse, that's the state of play at the moment. There is a lot of laws and regulations and rules. And as I was explaining to your producer, the safest person is a firearm licensed person. And that's just simply because they have police checks. As soon as you have a firearms license, you are inviting the scrutiny of police into your life. They want to know how you store your firearms. They can inspect your firearms. They can tell you whether you can or can't have a certain type of firearm. Each and every firearm that you buy or apply to buy is checked by the police beforehand.
Right, so it's not a matter of I've got a license, I can just go and buy a gun. It's even once you've got the license, there's still processes to get a firearm.
That's right. And as in everything in life, there's renewals. You've got to pay the permits. Each time you renew, you're assessed again. Particularly in relation to handguns, there's certain things you must do, such as utilise that handgun at a club. And show that you are a competitive handgun shooter. And that goes with the different types of handguns you have, whether it's revolver or semi-automatic or rimfire or centerfire. It's a bit like a golf club membership. It's not cheap and you have to be committed. The other thing is you have to show a respect for the law, so you can't have too many parking tickets. Oh. If you have too many parking tickets, you can lose your firearms license. If you are caught drink driving or show disregard for the law, they will say, well, I'm sorry, I'm not sure you're a fit and proper person anymore. So as I said, the more licensed shooters we have in the community, the safer the community will be.
Yeah, so, I mean, drink driving, I mean, that's a criminal charge, so I guess I get that, but, like, parking tickets, that's not a criminal thing. That's not going to haunt you in court.
Well, it's a disregard for the law. If you end up with 10 parking tickets repetitively, or if you have 3 beers in 1 hour, you're probably over 0.05. You haven't sort of committed the world's worst crime, but you are statistically in breach of the law in all likelihood. We have, just to put it in perspective, we have Queensland sporting shooters have about 80,000 members in Queensland. So by perspective, that's about 1 in 23, 1 in 25 people are licensed. When you add in the farmers and those that utilise firearms for their jobs, it's a big portion of society, and probably in the last 10, 15 years, a lot more respected and understood. And that's just simply the passage of time and also people getting into the sport. We have over 75 clubs around Queensland, and it's accessible in so many ways. You can be tall, skinny, male, female, wheelchair. It is a very good sport to get into, and it teaches you respect. And obviously, as I said, you have to show good common sense to maintain that license. What my objection to the Australia Institute research is, it didn't really find anything alarming, and they're almost upset at that, but it also took the perspective of some kind of left-wing social engineering attitude that we shouldn't own firearms. Well, we probably shouldn't own illegal firearms, and we shouldn't be doing criminal activity with firearms. That's agreed. But to try and merge the two into the same thing, I think is disrespectful to the people that have bothered to be licensed and have jumped over the hurdles and gone through the hoops.
I suppose the test is like, where is the outcome in this? And the laws that were brought in following Port Arthur were specifically about, we don't want something like that to ever happen again. And we can keep looking at the gun violence in the US and go, well, we certainly aren't having anything like that. We're obviously all good. But what is it that we're getting right that the US is getting wrong?
Oh, look, I think it's a really broad brush to say the US. There's every state in the US has a different firearm law. It is such a complicated set of legislations. You could spend 10 years studying law and still not understand it all. But America has a violence problem. That's not just with firearms, that's with knives, that's with knuckle dusters, that's with all sorts of things. It has a violent history. Australia doesn't actually have that violent history. We haven't gone to civil war with ourselves, thank goodness. We haven't broken away from another country. So if we concentrate on Australia, maybe New Zealand, and we look at what we're getting right, well, we have an incredibly small death rate by firearm. We have an incredibly small percentage of crime committed with a licensed person with a registered firearm. So something's going on right there. Going all the way back to Port Arthur in 96, that was a very sad, tragic, harmful event by a person who had mental health issues, by a person that had done various things to flag that he had issues to the police, but the police could never believe that he would be capable of such a horrific event. I don't think you can ever excuse the person who perpetrates the crime. It's all well and good to say the police should have known or somebody should have picked it up. I guess we are hopeful. We hope these bad things don't happen, but they do, unfortunately. You know, the Childers backpackers fire killed a whole bunch of international backpackers, nothing more with a matchbox. It didn't need a firearm for that. There have been some horrific events by a drug-induced grandmother in Queensland, killing children. You didn't need a firearm for that. Bad things do happen. It is up to us to go and look at, can we prevent it? Can we do something to minimise the likelihood? But it's also important to be honest, I think. And that's where I do get a little upset about when people with a political agenda try and impose their beliefs and wishes on society, like the Australia Institute does, and the Australia Institute is sponsored and backed by Gun Control Australia. That's okay, but it should be public. They're sponsored and backed by the Greens. Okay, well, that appeals to about 10% of society. I don't think it's appropriate that 10% of society sets the rules for the other 90%. So I think it should.
As I was saying, looking at the outcomes and what the situation is, I mean, we haven't had another Port Arthur and we haven't had another Hoddle Street, and that, not that gun violence doesn't happen, but it's nothing to that sort of scale.
We had Monash, of course.
Yeah, that's
early
true.
Early 2000s.
Yes, that's it. Yeah. So I'm not saying that it hasn't happened at all, but certainly not to that scale. But I mean, I guess my question for you in terms of the gun laws as they exist, do you think that the gun laws as they are this is the mix that we need, or do you think it needs to be tighter or looser? Or
I think there needs to be a maturity about firearm laws, and by that I mean there's no point over policing someone that has already been seen as a responsible person, a fit and proper person. So I don't think SSAA Queensland, that owns, by the way, the Australian Shooters Alliance, as you mentioned earlier, I don't think we have a problem with the person being checked to see that they are a fit and proper person, and that they are doing the right thing and storing their firearm properly. That's fine. However, there needs to be sensible taxpayer money